Today on Real Radio.
You as a Christian in the 21st century ought to master your Old Testament scriptures. Why? Because it's out of the old that the new is spoken to us. The new is true, the old is true. But the old announces and the new fulfills.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series taken from the last 8 verses of chapter 6 and the first verse of chapter 7. As we have learned, this is a powerful section of Scripture that emphasizes the importance of the believer to separate himself from false doctrine and practice. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his mini-series called Come Over Here.
Paul had preached his heart out to the Corinthian believers, those in Greece. A church had been established. God had encouraged Paul that there were many in that city who would believe in the Lord. And Paul's missionary venture was very fruitful. And yet after he left, there were those who came in. By the way, this is always true. Wherever there's a work of God, the work of the enemy will be at work. You need to know that. If you take a stand for Jesus, you're going to get criticized. You're going to get attacked. Most often it will be from people closest to you. That's how it works. And Paul loved them, and he was sharing out of the generosity of not only the Holy Spirit, but out of the generosity of his own heart and hands to the Corinthian believers. And then when he left, false brethren came in to try to undermine what he was saying. And they were swayed to go with the bad guys. And Paul was out to reach them. And I want you to think about Paul for a moment, because this is a radical thing. Paul, he uses these terms in our study very tenderly. He says to the Corinthians, brothers and sisters, he calls them children. He says, O Corinthians, it's a term of endearment. Throughout Paul's writings, he says things like, my beloved. He says, for example, Timothy, my dear son in the faith. This man was not always that tender. He used to be Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee, brilliant man. He was famous in Israel and in the Roman Empire before he ever got converted to Christ. In fact, it was the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin of Jerusalem that commissioned Saul to go to Damascus to arrest Christians, to beat them, to persecute them, to even kill them. And in Acts chapter 7, Stephen has been arrested and he's about ready to be stoned and he's preaching the gospel. And all of those who were the stoners, not the drug users, they were... I have to clarify that in California. And they were not the stoners. These were the stoners who threw rocks, and they laid their garments down at the feet of Saul, one Saul of Tarsus, who later became Paul. And he authorized the killing of Stephen. In fact, it would have been Paul who would have gone like this to the stoners, and they would have thrown their stones to kill him. But something happened, I believe, in that moment when he watched as Stephen is being cut open and beat to death by these stones, where Stephen says, behold, I see the heavens opened, and Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God the Father, the power on high. And I think that began to eat upon Saul. And commissioned once again, he's heading up to Damascus to kill believers and arrest them. And none other than Jesus Christ himself appears in a vision, and Saul becomes Paul. And from that time on, the conversion of Paul to this day, from the first century to the 21st century, he's been the most influential, powerful conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ that the world has ever seen. And in all of that, listen to the tenderness that he learned through it all. In 1 Corinthians 4:14, he says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as beloved children, I warn you, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. Follow me. Isn't that awesome? What a great witness he had. So in that, we have the title, Come Over Here. And in our first study, church, we looked at this. Come over here and listen, or come over here and hear. Three things we learned about that. In verses 11 to 16, his challenge was to come over and hear the heart that is the heart of God that was being lived out through this amazing pastor, apostle, evangelist. The second thing we saw was in verse 14, to come and hear the wisdom of God, the instruction of God. God speaking, saying, and instructing us not to be unequally yoked in the affairs of this life. And we looked at that in detail. And then he challenged us to hear the reality. And so, church, let's pick it up where we left off. Look at chapter 6, verse 11. But today we'll end it with verses 17 to verse 1. He says, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us. Their hearts were closed up. Paul said, we didn't do that to you. But you are restricted by your own affections. They were loving the wrong message. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. That's not an insult. It's a term of endearment. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial or Satan? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, this is where we study today. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty, or Yah, Yahweh. Capital L-O-R-D is the name of God. He gives us his name, Yah, Almighty. Therefore, verse 1, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting or completing, bringing to completion holiness in the fear of God. So church, pick it up. Here we go. Number 2 in our argument about come over here is this. Come over here and see. That's what he's asking us to consider, verses 17 to 18. He says, therefore, come out from among them. Bible students, mark this. He's referring to a challenge from the Old Testament, says the Lord. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Verse 18, I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Listen, this is an amazing, it's not even a quote. This is kind of encouraging. For whatever reasons, that's up to God. When Paul is writing this portion of Corinthians right here, he does not quote 2 Old Testament scriptures verbatim. He draws up from memory and puts them onto the page. And I want you to grab this in the 21st century. He's actually, verses 17 and 18, he's drawing from what is written in Isaiah 52, 11, and Ezekiel 20, 34. This is a great Bible study example for us. Paul is teaching Bible using Bible. He's revealing doctrine by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit use? Bible. The Word of God is confirmed by the Word of God. What is in the Old Testament there is explained in the New Testament here. They don't contradict each other. It's perfect harmony. And the great apostle is showing you that you as a Christian in the 21st century ought to master your Old Testament scriptures. Why? Because it's out of the old that the new is spoken to us. The new is true. The old is true. But the old announces and the new fulfills. We need to remember that. So he's bringing together from memory, not verbatim, though if you were to take the time to read those verses, makes perfect sense. He's speaking to a bunch of Gentile believers. I find this incredibly encouraging. There's a group running around the world right now telling you that whatever is of the Old Testament does not belong to you. Those people are heretics. If the Apostle Paul, who's a Jew, draws from the Old and makes application to the Gentile church in Greece, that should immediately dispel that kind of heretical teaching. All the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. To who? To all who will trust God and trust Christ. That's an awesome promise. The truth of Genesis 1:1 applies to us today in the 21st century. And I'm grateful for that. He's saying, come over here and see. See what? See our real position as believers. Verse 17 says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. He's drawing from Isaiah 52:11 and the great challenge of Israel's Babylonian exodus. We all think of the Egyptian exodus, but there was a time when Israel was taken captive into Babylon. And time had come for Israel to be delivered out of the hand of the Babylonian Empire and to leave Babylon and to go west back home to the promised land. And what was God's word to them? Separate yourselves from Babylonianism. That's important. You see, yeah, Jack, but we're talking about the Corinthians. They're in Greece. Oh, yeah, good observation. But whatever the Greeks worshiped came from Babylonianism. All of the Greek gods, by the way, if you ever get a chance to go to Berlin, I know you know, it's like, what? But I had a chance one time on the dime of a travel agency. It was great. They said, we want you to go to this hotel. It was like, honestly, I think we paid like $150. Just wait till I tell you what hotel it was. We paid like $150 for 3 days, and they wanted to know our opinion about the hotel. That's it? Well, we happened to have been coming out of, I think it was Russia, in one of our mission outreaches, and it was the Ritz-Carlton Berlin. That's what I said. And why? Why is that important? Well, that's not important, but it was right down the street from the Museum of Pergamum. Pergamus, the Church of Pergamum in the Book of Revelation. The antiquities of the German Empire, when they conquered that portion of Europe, brought back that part of Turkey. They brought back that part, and they reassembled the temple of Zeus, which Jesus refers to the temple of Zeus in the Book of Revelation as the seat of Satan. And they have it in Berlin, the real one. In fact, you're walking around this secular museum and it's got all these biblical references. It's awesome. And you walk up the steps of the seat of Satan. It's true. You go up there and it's got all of these amazing Babylonian gods that are reliefs carved into the side that are going up to Zeus. It's amazing. Well, guess what? Every one of those gods had their Babylonian name and their Greek god name. There's no new gods under the sun. They just get new names from cultures, okay? And the Greek Empire, even under the Roman Empire, the influence was overwhelming. And the Romans worshipped gods that were Greek gods, and the Greek gods worshipped their gods that were Babylonian gods. And all of this is going on. And so God tells Israel when they're leaving Babylon, don't touch on that stuff. Don't bring it. Leave it. Leave the world behind you. And that's a tremendous challenge. Think about that. Get away from it. This word separate, come out from among them and be separate. See that word right there? It means to put a boundary or set a boundary around your life. Christian, that's a great thing to do. Put a boundary around your life. Listen, put a boundary around your kids' lives. Protect them. This is a fact. You turn kids loose in a big open field and they congregate together. Isn't that interesting? They don't wander very far from one another. They can be in a big open field, but they'll stay close together. Why? Because psychologically, they know that it's safer in a boundary. Hey, listen, you and I function better, safer in a boundary. Marriage is not a ball and chain. Oh, Pastor, you don't know the woman I'm married to. Listen, God brought her into your life to give you a fence, and that goes the same thing for you, lady. God brought you together to be a fence of boundary around each other. We work better that way. And God says, listen, separate yourself from the world. Put a boundary, put a bubble, as it were, around yourself. Listen, be careful. Put a bubble around yourself regarding the infiltration of the world, but God has a plan. He delivers us out to do something with us. Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 says this, set your mind on things above. Well, if I was the dictator of the world, if you turned on your satellite TV or whatever, that would be the first thing that pops up on your screen. You'd have to hit menu or exit. Wouldn't that be awesome? You turn on your TV and it says right there, set your mind on things above. But I'm not the dictator of the world, but that's what I would do. Not on things of the earth. Put a fence around your eyes. Put a fence around your life. For, verse 3, or because you died. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. You Christian? You're dead. The old you's dead. The old you's dead, but he keeps trying to pop up from time to time. Have you noticed that? He comes up like a horror story. And you have to like rebuke the old you. Remember that? Paul said to reckon him dead to this life. But look what he goes on to say in Colossians 3:3. He says, "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." The words "separate" and "hidden" work together like peace and like grace. We have been separated from the world. And at the same moment God separates you from the world, you're hidden in Christ. Listen, your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's a double blessing, man. Your life, now that you're a Christian, watch this. Before you were a Christian, God saw everything. You become a Christian, and God only sees Jesus when he looks at you. Now, hear me out. That life that is now separated from the world is hidden in Christ, meaning that wherever Jesus goes, you're in him. And the Bible says, and Christ is in God. So when God looks at you, he's looking at the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now you might say, that's cool. I can sin up a storm because my life is hidden in Christ. Nope. A person who is hidden in Christ cannot think like that anymore. They don't think like that. We don't think like that anymore. It's impossible. The proof of us being hidden in Christ is that we hate the sin that comes and knocks on our door. We now fight the temptations that come against us, where before we would look for temptations to cave into. But now we're hidden in Christ. It's an awesome declaration. We are separate, yes, and hidden. And I want you to let this sink in. There was a time when I think well-intended pulpit ministries, but ignorantly taught that, well, now that you're a Christian, you need to separate yourself from the world, and you need to dress a certain way and get inside your house and just stay there until the Lord returns. I'm exaggerating right now, but it's kind of that mentality. Well, we can't do this. We can't go to a duck game. Can't go to an angel game. You can't do this. That's stuff of the world. And they took this passage about being separate, and they misapplied it, thinking that isolationism was what God was talking about. Now, hear me carefully. When God puts his gospel in us, and we are hidden in Christ, we are sealed with the power and with the righteousness of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us. I like to use the word galvanized. I use that word a lot. You are now galvanized in the righteousness of Christ. I ask you for what? To hide in your house? To wait until the Lord returns, never going to your neighbors, never going outside, never going to the mall or wherever? Oh, no, 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 no. Because now the Word of God, the Spirit of God dwells in you, and you have been sanctified or set apart, you've been galvanized to go out into a sin-infected world. You are Teflon-coated spiritually. And this thing about wimpy, mamby-pamby Christianity, I cannot find in the Bible. You get out there and you go live for the glory of God. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know, that kind of scares me. The reason why it scares you is because you've been conditioned to fall or trip up when the world comes up against you. And you don't need to do that anymore. You take the Lord Jesus Christ, because you are now the temple of the living God, and you get out there. Don't be isolated. No, because you are separated from the world is not in you, but you are in the world. And you go out there and you have a rescue plan, and that rescue plan is to tell people about the love of God. I'm going to make a confession here right now. I'll feel better after I say it. You might say, well, I can't tell people. I don't have a big mouth like you do. Listen, you don't have to tell anybody exactly like that. But you have been so separated from the world, but you're still living in the world that, listen, a little while back, I was at the grocery store. It had to be a Monday, because I'm usually not that brain dead except on Mondays. And I remember standing, and there was somebody checking out in front of me, and they had their coupons. They weren't well-dressed at all. You could tell that they were having a rough time, and they were something like 88 cents short from paying their bill. And so they wound up having to take some food item out so that they could get through the line. Now, if I would have been walking in the Spirit and not being zoned out, I would have said, for example, I'll cover that 88 cents. I'll take that. That's okay. That's okay. See, you don't have to be a preacher or an evangelist or a Paul the Apostle to go out there and infuse the gospel into this world that's fallen and hurting. I could have said, I'll cover that 88 cents. You say, what does that have to do with the gospel? Well, there's a high probability that by the Lord touching my heart, which I'm sure he was trying to touch my heart, I just wasn't paying attention. I didn't do that. I wasn't even thinking. And then I got in the car and the Lord said, hey, Jack, what's wrong with you? God, what are you doing? It's my day off. And then it dawned on me, that was an opportunity to share the gospel. I didn't do it. For 88 cents, I could have gotten the gospel out to somebody that I'll probably never meet again. You see, well, I'm still not tracking you. This is how it works. Hey, I'll cover that 88 cents. There's a high probability that person's going to turn and go, thank you. That's when you say, oh, you know what? Hey, it's nothing compared to what Jesus Christ has done in my life. Do you understand that opens up a door? Or you could say, hey, you know what? It's all cool. God is good, and he's been good to me. God loves you. You don't have to go, you know, spiritual law number one. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. But I would encourage you to stalk them out to the parking lot and say, hey, you know what? Is there anything you need me to pray for? Listen, they will say, yeah, you can pray. We can all do that. We can all do that. God's got a plan. Listen, secondly, it leads us to this. Verse 17 teaches us, come over here and see your real life. Do not touch what is unclean. The word actually means in the Greek, it's strong, it's stop it. Stop touching the unclean thing. The thing that is unsanctioned by God, don't touch it. Stay away from it, and I will receive you. Now, how do you hear that? Because this is a command. Stop touching unclean things. God is saying, in a warning, stop. Why? How do you view that? Oh, you know, that's that Christian God of yours. Listen, he's so mean. He says that you should not covet your neighbor's wife. Yeah, you know, that's kind of a quench. Really? God's trying to keep you from perishing, man. God says, don't tell lies. It could get you killed. God says, don't have another God before me. It can get you lost. He tells us these things for the betterment of our lives. And then he turns to the Christian and he says, listen, don't touch the unclean thing. Now, you need to think right now. Make that personal application. God, what's unclean in my life? Oh, he'll tell you. He's already telling you right now. I can hear now. He's telling you that thing, or that person, or that issue. Why? Because he wants you to have real life, a life that is free. People of the world will say, no, your God's full of rules. No, my God's full of life. And they think that they don't have rules, but their rule is to live for all the fun and pleasure that they can grab, and they think it's liberty. Listen, it's not liberty, it's bondage. You can go feed and indulge in all of the passions of your flesh. You're going to get sexually transmitted diseases. You're going to get headaches. You're going to get sick. You're going to look a whole lot older than what you really are. The world will thrash your life, and then when the world is done with you, it will vomit you off on the side of the road after it's prostituted you to the point of nothing, and you say you're free? No, I would suggest this to you. A real, true person enjoying liberty and freedom has the power to say yes or no to anything.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. It's a lesson called, Come Over Here. It's a study taken from the last 8 verses of chapter 6 and the first verse of chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. Come Over Here is actually a mini-series taken from Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, have you subscribed to the Real Life with Jack Hibbs channel on YouTube? Thousands of folks have already done it. You'll see all kinds of studies and lessons and presentations. In fact, you're notified each time a new video is posted if you set the account up that way. Now, if you've ever subscribed to a YouTube channel, you know how easy it really is. The Real Life with Jack Hibbs channel on YouTube. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and scroll down to the bottom and click YouTube, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs channel on YouTube. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.